Mm-hmm.
Tell me, honestly.
I couldn't be happier.
Can I get you something?
I'm not hungry.
No, I mean a dress.
What?
I thought you'd like a gown. A fortunée.
No.
Well, you like clothes?
I've got enough clothes.
Well, how about this for an idea? I've been thinking, how would it be if I bought you a yacht?
This is instead of a dress?
Yes. Well, no, you could have a dress as well.
A yacht?
Yes.
Marcel?
Or a Rolls Royce. I could buy
you... No, stop, stop, stop. You're ridiculous.
Well, it would be useful, wouldn't it? A yacht?
In Paris?
Well, we could moor it in Antibes. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
How about this? We go home, I take all my clothes off and I sit on your lap for the afternoon. And don't buy me a yacht.
So it went on. You told yourself that life with Albertine was nothing but boredom when you weren't jealous and nothing but pain when you were. And you looked for the moment to say goodbye.
My aunt says I should get my hair done. She says this style makes me look old.
No.
Albertine plays the pianola. Her soft shoulders bend forwards.
But you like it this way, don't you?
Yes.
A dowdy mistress attracts fewer looks.
All right, then. I'll leave it. Anything for you.
Another bolt on the door. It was only when she was docile like this that you could imagine breaking with her. You made plans.
I've got an invitation.
To?
Mrs. Vergerin's. What do you think of that?
What do I think of it?
Yes.
What does it matter what I think? What do you think?
I thought I might go.
Then go.
You think?
In fact, we'll both go.
Marcel! We'll have fun!
And within reason. It's only Mrs. Vergerin's.
I'll wear the green gown you like.
The fortunée?
Of course the fortunée. Oh, it'll be fun to see my old friends.
What old friends?
Hmm?
Old friends?
It says on the invitation, they're playing a piece of music by Vinteuil, a new piece just published.
Yes?
Well, that's his daughter. She did it, she and her friend, and they're bound to be there, so I'll see them.
These women.
I told you about
them.
You
can't go.
What?
Well, you can't go. Albertine, how can you?
I don't understand.
Well, their reputations, hmm? Surely.
What?
You can't see them.
Oh.
Well, what can I do about it? It's not my fault, is it? It's not. No, I didn't ask them to be there. I don't even know what they're doing there. What do they want? Where are you going?
Just, it's all right. If you don't want me to go.
No, I'd like you to go. I'd like you to.
Yes, but...
I couldn't possibly take that risk.
I'm tired. I am tired. Good night.
She went. Without giving you her kiss. You thought she'd come back. You thought she'd... You went into the corridor and listened outside her room.
More story, Mama, please.
Are you going to be a grown-up boy for me?
It comes back to you. That small boy waiting for his mother's kiss.
You promised.
Kiss me.
With the whole night to get through. Alone. All your life. You've heard that sobbing. You can still hear it.
You've come without your cousin, then?
She doesn't like music.
Very wise.
Shalou, you look tired, but a red spot in your cheek tells me you're excited by the evening's entertainments you've organised.
You think so?
Vinteuil's daughter and company, with their reputation. Not that it would have mattered.
How do you mean?
They're not coming.
Not?
They cried off, Morel told me.
How does he know?
Oh, as the principal performer this evening, that dear boy knows everything. What's the matter? You've turned green.
Each new doubt makes us feel the limit has been reached. Then we find room for more.
Well, where are they then?
Probably at some disgusting orgy.
In Paris?
Well, we're not short of orgies, are we?
Leaving you to imagine.
However, they have done a wonderful job on Vinteuil's septet.
Sorry?
They've gathered Vinteuil's manuscript together, which was in quite a state. Arranged it for publication. Are you all right? This is going to be a triumph for Morel. I'm excited.
Would you please sit down? We're ready to begin.
Ugh, there's La Verdurin playing the hostess. Laughable. All right. See you later.
Marcel, we haven't seen you for a while.
No, I'm very busy, Mrs. Verdurin.
Well, perhaps you could have made a little gap for us all the same.
I was very sorry to hear of Charles Swan's death.
Why did you say that to her?
Charles Swan was a pest, as is the Baron de Charlus, though this evening I intend to swat him. You look shocked, Marcel, don't. He takes over my entire evening. He refuses certain guests on the grounds that he doesn't like them. And the people he does invite, his kind of people, stare at me as though I'm a prize cucumber in my own house. I've turned a blind eye to his vices in the past, no longer. Last week, he refused to let Morel play at the house of a friend of mine. I'd promised her Morel would be there. This evening, I intend to open his eyes to the real nature of his mentor. Do you like fireworks, Marcel?
Fireworks?
Because there are going to be some. Please take your seats. The musicians are ready.
Vinteuil, the composer. A sad, timid man from whom such music came. So small-minded. He wouldn't let Swan's daughter play with his own daughter. Amazing. This same daughter I witnessed one blazing summer afternoon. They were doing it in front of his photograph. Then he dies of a broken heart, my mother said, and this daughter goes on to save her father's music. Music in which Vinteuil still lives, huh? But where did it come from, this music? How did it appear in this sad little man? Each artist must have an unknown land inside him. He's in tune with it. Only he can describe it. I know what it is. The bliss of the beyond. It calls to me, too. I know it does, and it never stops. It's like a summons, and it proves there is something other than this emptiness. Sitting here, I can feel it, calling to me. If only I could interpret it, I'd know what I should be doing with my life.
The Baron is very pleased Vinteuil's daughter and her friend didn't come. He objects to their morals.
He's unspeakable. Brichot, take him outside for a cigarette.
Hmm?
I want to speak to Charlie Morel. Skinny Shanks hovers round him like a bodyguard. Don't stand there. Do it.
You knew the poison she was spreading about Charlou.
Mr. Morel, a word. Wonderful play.
Thank you, Mrs. Verdurin.
Exquisite play. I'll have one of my headaches later, no doubt, but a small price to pay.
Well,
I wanted to speak to you as a friend, I feel I may. I'm concerned about something. It's not in my nature to avoid confrontations, especially in the matter of the protection of one I care for. Mr. Morel, I feel I must tell you that your continued association with the Baron de Charlus will ruin your career.
I appreciate your concern.
Oh, please.
I think you should know the Baron's often supported me.
I don't think you realize the gravity of this. That man is tainted. The police have their eye on him. It's the talk of the conservatoire. You ought to be making 100,000 francs a year.
100?
Certainly. 200, even. And financially, he can't help you. He's ruined.
Is he?
Don't you know he's become the victim of extensive blackmail?
What should I do?
I believe you're a man with a lot of character. Break off with him. He's told people you'd never dare. Break off with him tonight.
Isn't that boy Morel wonderful?
Mrs. Verdurin would like to speak to you, Baron.
You couldn't bear what was going to happen to Charlot. You were always on the side of the weaker party.
I'm coming.
Why didn't you warn him?
Baron?
Yes?
I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Tell him she's going to crucify him.
I'm sorry we didn't speak more.
Oh, you sweet boy. Are you sincere? Come, come.
I can't bear to watch.
Baron!
Importunate Brichot, we're coming!
come, maestro. Isn't he lovely? Look at his tempestuous knots. Very soon they'll be awarding you the Légion d'honneur. Are we ready to go?
Leave me alone.
Eh?
Get away from me, you fat slug.
What? What is it?
You hear me? Get away, pervert.
What?
You're disgusting to me.
Well, I don't understand.
You don't understand? Why? Is your brain so diseased? You make me vomit. You understand that?
No. My dear, what's wrong?
I think Mr. Morell has been perfectly clear, Baron.
Albertine?
Mm-hmm.
Albertine.
Where?
I had a very interesting time.
Did you? Good. And did you speak to Vantoy's daughter? You know, don't you?
Tell me.
You found out that I don't know them. If it was a lie, I'm sorry. I wanted to impress you because I always feel stupid in your company, so I told you I knew them because I thought the daughter of a composer, that would impress you.
I'd be happy to give you money if you want to play the social lady.
What? What?
You can invite who you want, anybody, to a supper. Well...
Invite? What? Why would I want to do that? I'm nobody. I'd rather go out in the street and let some sailor give it to me.
What? What did you say?
Nothing.
No, what did you say?
Nothing. Oh, nothing. I'm half asleep. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, say it again.
Leave me alone. I didn't mean to... Leave me alone. I'm going to my room.
Wait. No, you're quite right. Things have changed for both of us. Life with me is... I understand. It's better if we part.
Don't say
it's
that.
It's better.
For you, not for me.
I just think it's better if we don't drag it out.
No, please.
Tomorrow... Yes. If you go tomorrow...
You've made your mind up, have you?
I just think it's...
Why?
Because it's finished and you have to go. Do you want me to send someone to see you? A friend to comfort you?
I don't know why you say that. I only care about you.
Promise me, Albertine, you won't ever see me again.
Oh, my darling. My poor boy. I love you.
Take off your dress.
No.
I don't want to crumple.
I'm so tired. It's too late.
Tomorrow. We'll go shopping tomorrow.
Try to sleep well.
Your milk.
What time is it, Françoise?
10 o'clock. Just gone. I didn't know what to say to you.
What?
This morning at 8 o'clock, Miss Albertine asked for her boxes. I thought you'd be angry if I woke you. I told her to wait until you were awake, but she wouldn't. At 9 o'clock, she gave me this letter for you and left.
Yes, that's fine. You were right not to wake me. Leave me alone for a moment.
How ignorant you were of yourself. In your anguish... You became tender towards yourself, as your mother had been to your dying grandmother.
I'll find something to take the pain away.
My dear friend, forgive me for not having dared to say to you in person what I'm now writing. I'm such a coward and have always been afraid of you. This is what I should have said last night. Our life together has become impossible. We could patch it up, but it would only break down again. So I think it's better now if we part as friends. Forgive me for hurting you, but don't think that I'm not suffering as well. Dearest one, I don't want to become your enemy. It'll be bad enough to become strangers by degrees. Goodbye. I leave you the best of myself. Albertine.
A moment before, you believed you didn't love Albertine. You believed you knew the state of your own heart. But our intelligence, however lucid, can't understand the heart.
She didn't mean it. She'll be back. She's trying to frighten me.
You ordered a Rolls-Royce and a yacht.
I'll marry her. Of course. Of course that's what she wanted.
You had to get her back.
Of course I'll help you.
Robert, listen. I want you to go to Turenne. That's where she is.
Right.
Staying with her aunt. Now listen, I don't want her to see you.
So, who?
Mrs. Bonton. That's who she lives with.
This aunt?
Yes. Now you wait. You wait for Albertine to leave the house.
Before...
Then you go in and offer the old woman 30,000 francs to get Albertine to come back here.
What? She's going to accept this?
Or more. Offer her more.
No.
Go up to 50.
No, I'm saying she's that corrupt.
What?
Listen to me, if she's that corrupt...
What? Who said anything about corrupt?
Listen, we could offer her less.
What are you talking about? Robert, listen to me.
I'm only...
Don't. You offer her the money.
And she's to influence...
Yes. Go. Go, Robert. And don't... Be careful.
All right.
And don't let her see you.
I hear nothing. Then a letter. Albertine's handwriting.
My dear, you sent your friend Saint-Loup to my aunt, which was foolish. My dearest, if you needed me, why didn't you write to me direct? I would have come back. Don't do this kind of thing anymore.
The bonds between ourselves and another person are only in our minds. We might wish to be deceived and to deceive others, but we are alone. Man is the creature who cannot escape from himself, who knows other people only in himself. And anyone who says different is lying.
Dear friend, ask you to come back? No, I think there must be some kind of mistake. Life has driven us apart. You decided to leave me, and I agree with you. A shame you did it on the day when my mother gave permission for us to marry, but let that go. We'd only have been unhappy. This brings me round to the yacht and Rolls-Royce which I recently bought for you, intending to let you have as much freedom as possible as my wife. Now that I no longer need them, I wonder whether you'd like to pay for them. If not, I'll keep them and let the one rot in my garage and the other stand dismantled at the dock. P.S. I don't know what you mean by referring to Saint-Loup. Pure invention on your part. What do you take me for? Farewell, my little Albertine.
Dear friend, thank you for your letter. Neither of us has any need of a yacht or a motor car, particularly you who never leaves the house. I keep a memory of a double twilight, our last evening together. It'll only leave my memory when the darkness is complete.
Huh? That last sentence, pure phrase-making.
Dear friend, when you were here, I got into the habit of never being alone, so now I feel the need to replace you with another woman. So I've invited your friend André to come and live with me, and she's agreed. What do you think about this?
Silence. You wait. In the end, you can't bear it.
Dearest love.
A telegram.
Dearest love. For God's sake, come back. I can't bear it without you. Come back on any terms just so I can see you again. Please. Albertine, I love you.
But she never came back. A letter arrived from her aunt.
My poor young man. Our dear little Albertine is dead. Forgive me for breaking this terrible news to you who were so fond of her. She was thrown from a horse against a tree while she was out riding. We couldn't save her. If only I died in her place.
You drew your hand over your throat, over your mouth. You felt kissed by her, but you would never be kissed by her again. Then, two letters arrived, written by her and posted before the fatal ride.
Dear friend, thank you for telling me that André is coming to live with you. I think it'll be a very good thing for her. I'm sure she'll make the most of your companionship. If you have any trouble with her, let me know, and I'll see if I can help out.
The second, dated the next day.
Is it too late for me to come back to you? If you haven't yet written to André, please take me back. Don't keep me waiting for an answer. If you tell me to come, I'll catch a train today. Yours with all my heart, Albertine.
Albertine. Albertine. The shock of the fall had killed her in Touraine, but not in my heart. She lived. We enter each other through time and remain there in a series of moments, like photographs. These moments remain in us, and so the person lives on. Not only lives after death, but multiplies. To get over this, I would have to forget not one, but innumerable Albertines.
Albertine. Marcel.
How do you do?
Jolly pleased to meet you.
I saw you looking at us on the beach.
And immediately the image of the seashore at Baalbek comes into my mind. Kiss me.
Certainly.
My grandmother died.
I'm very sorry. Why didn't you write to me?
I didn't write to anybody.
Is there anything I can do for you?
No.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Slowly. Let me show you.
Stay with me.
Piece of cake, see?
You remembered the pink face beneath dark hair. You could feel her against your lips. Your lips which she'd try and part. Her tongue, its secret dewy flame. And you remembered her running it over the surface of your neck and stomach, caressing, somehow, the inside of your flesh. You remembered the mysterious sweetness of her love.
I never knew you. Poor Albertine. I killed you. The same as I murdered my grandmother.
At the same time, you knew you'd forget her. You'd forgotten Gilberte. You'd forgotten your grandmother. A forgetfulness as tranquil as the graveyard and just as inevitable.
Will the morning never come?
The sun, breaking above the curtains, the same sun you used to see, leaving Albertine's room radiant and warm with her kisses. That sun, like a sinister blade, cold, implacable, thrusts into your heart.
My darling, my Marcel.
Yes?
So...
Oh, yes, I miss her. Of course I do, I'm not without feeling.
You interrogated Albertine's friend André, as though this might keep her alive.
You want some more tea?
No. It's a nice little room, this, isn't it?
I mean, she was your best friend.
Hmm.
You don't think so?
One. Well, she was one of my friends. Of course, her death leaves a very big hole, don't get me wrong. I think I will have another cup. This real?
What?
This clock.
Yes.
Very nice.
So what you're saying is you were close, but you...
Yes. What's this about? What do you want?
What do I want?
What do you want? She's dead. So, there we are. And we're living.
Would you ever perform for me, in front of me, those things you and Albertine used to do?
Things?
I'd be interested to see that.
Oh, well. Well, actually, no.
Why?
I don't have those tastes. I don't have those sort of tastes, and neither do any of my friends.
I find that hard to believe.
Really?
Are you saying you and Albertine...
Never.
I don't know why you're denying it. I don't see anything wrong in it.
Oh, good. Listen, I never did anything like that, and neither did Albertine. She detested that kind of thing.
Yeah, people, actually, people have told me.
People? They lied.
You tried to replace her with other women.
Come in.
Nice.
Would you take your clothes off, please?
Oh. You're in a terrible tear, are you?
I don't want to talk.
All right, you're paying.
That's right. I want to call you Albertine.
What?
When I'm in bed with you, I want to call you Albertine.
Anything you say. There. That's me. How'd you like it? Crying, oh. Someone break your heart.
Albertine, look at the stars. You see them? Come back to me. I give you all my love and the tenderness I didn't give you when you were alive. Come back to me. I give you my love as consolation. Now you're no longer alive.
You knew you'd forget her, even as you fought to keep her. The present is in contradiction to the past and slowly destroys it. Love exists only in the mind and can't survive for long without contact with the beloved. This is the tragedy of other people. They're just showcases for the perishable collections in your mind. Soon, she'd be gone.
What do you like about me?
Everything. Everything, André.
So you've forgotten her?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes. It doesn't worry me anymore.
What?
She doesn't.
You sure?
Yes. We've said goodbye. I mean, I've said goodbye. I'm just thinking about the future now.
What's this?
It's a pianola.
Oh.
Don't. I don't want you to play it.
Did she?
Listen, I'd just rather you didn't.
You remember you said... What did we used to do? You remember? Well, Albertine and me, what did we get up to? You wanted to know.
You told me you didn't do anything.
I was lying.
I see.
We used to get up to plenty. You want to know? Do you?
Yes.
Is that what you want from me?
Yes.
Because that makes you think of her?
Yes. Show me. Show me what you did with her.
I didn't do anything.
No, show me. Do it with me. Do it with me.
How could I?
How do you mean?
Well, how could I do with you what I did with her? After all, you're a man, aren't you?
Is it true?
Oh, yes.
Tell me.
We spent many happy hours together. She was so caressing, so passionate. I was just one of her lovers.
Yes,
laundry
me.
Girls, shop girls, yes. Farm girls, serving girls.
I knew.
You know someone called Charlie Morell?
Yes.
He used to procure girls for her.
Really?
They'd take them to a brothel, and once 5 of these women had her in turn. Oh, yes, that was Albertine. It was a passion with her. Once you nearly found us, she couldn't help herself. Well, she couldn't bear to say goodbye to me without taking me to bed, so we went to bed here, in this room. And you nearly caught us. She turned out all the lights, so you'd have to search for your key. I only just had time to tidy myself up before you came upstairs.
Was she lying? Freed now from fear of Albertine?
And you? She felt a great remorse afterwards. Oh, yes. You see, she used to say that knowing you would have given her scruples that she didn't have before, you know?
Is that what she said?
Well, yes. She wanted you to rescue her, to marry her. She used to feel she was insane in some way, and I've sometimes wondered if her death wasn't a form of suicide.
Why?
She knew now. She knew without you, she'd never be able to control that side of herself. She felt ashamed. She felt she'd never get back your trust. And that's the truth. Now then, why don't you give a bit of attention to me?
I killed her.
What?
I let her escape. I told her to go. I killed her. My poor Albertine.
What about me?
What?
What about me?
You can go.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Get out.
She was better off without you.
You were forgetting. We change. It was a previous self that wept for her, and the self you were becoming never knew her except by reputation. Albertine, my love, don't reproach me. It's not because you were dead that my love for you was fading. It's because I, myself, was dying. So you begin to attend the functions again, the parties, the salons, because you have nothing else to do.
Do you remember me? We played together when we were children, in the Champs-Élysées.
You're Gilbert Swan.
Well done.
I remember rosy cheeks in the cool air. A blue coat.
Can you skip?
What?
Can you skip? Most boys can't, can you?
No.
Good. You can hold the rope.
Of course I remember.
I bought you a marble.
Yes. You were keen on me, weren't you?
How are you?
I'm very well.
I was sorry to hear about the death of your father. There'll never be another Charles Swan.
I don't talk about my father. You understand?
Swan would have loved to have seen his daughter there at the Duchess of Command's party. But if he'd hoped for immortality through her, he was mistaken.
And your mother? Do you talk about her?
My mother remarried after my father's death, Mr. Forcheville. I think that's enough history, don't you?
No, you didn't, Gilbert Swan.
Gilbert Swan. Gilbert Swan.
Gilbert. You wrote her name in your exercise Swan. Book, page after page. Is this her? This short, blonde, matronly woman. Is this Gilbert? Now come into a fortune and rehabilitated. Welcomed by the Duchess who'd refused to meet her or her mother during Swan's life. Now the benefits of rejecting them were exhausted. The door opened. So it goes.
The Duchess tells me you've written an article in the Figaro.
Yes.
Congratulations. Now you're a writer.
Well, it's only a...
Are you being self-deprecating? That's not very attractive.
I wasn't trying to be attractive.
Why not?
I'm afraid you're barking up the wrong tree, my friend.
I've got to go.
We're going on to the opera. Aren't you coming with us?
No.
I also heard about your loss.
Well, that's something I don't want to talk about.
I was at school with Albertine. Did you know that? We weren't friends, but she lent me some books once, or I lent her some, I can't remember. Well, I'm very sorry.
She means that woman you no longer love.
Thank you.
Let's have lunch sometime, shall we?
Venice. The Venice trip at last. Mama organized it. Once you'd have cut off your arm to get here, when Albertine was alive, and now? It's like Cambrai, you thought. But in a richer key and full of Venetian women.
Match sellers, pearl stringers, glass makers.
Oh, those women. And none of them like Albertine.
Lace makers, seamstresses.
And nothing to stop you loving them, not now. Now you'd forgotten her.
Mama?
Marcel, dear.
Have you finished your book?
I was waiting for you. What do you want? A chocolate?
Yes.
Chocolate, please.
Si, signora.
Your grandmother would have loved it here. Those soft pink tints. She'd have loved all of it. She'd have had as much pleasure in seeing the sun setting over the Doge's palace as over a mountain.
The buildings arranged along both banks of the canal, like objects of nature, yet created by human imagination.
Did you sleep well?
Yes. No, I never sleep. I mean, I hardly ever sleep.
Are you still having dreams?
Yes. It doesn't matter.
Oh, it's a shame to be tired when you've always wanted to come to Venice.
Oh, really?
After lunch, you must have a lie down. I want you to enjoy it here.
I am enjoying it here.
Could I have my room key, please?
Signor. And a telegram.
Thank you.
The message. Filled with inaccurately transmitted words.
My dear friend, you think me dead?
I could make out...
Forgive me. What? Forgive me? I am quite alive. I long to see you. Talk about marriage. When do you return? Affectionately. Albertine.
Albertine? She had been only a bundle of words in your head, yet though those words were dead, there was no sudden resurrection. News that she was alive didn't cause you the joy you might have expected.
Albertine?
You felt nothing. The self that loved her was dead and had been replaced by a different person. This is more disconcerting than the fact that we are 100 different people a day. You didn't want her back. In the Accademia, you stand before a painting. The Patriarch of Grado, exorcising a demoniac by Carpaccio. Under a rose-pink and violet sky, a shore swarming with Venetian life, a barber wiping his razor, a negro with his barrel, Muslims conversing, noblemen in damask robes and hats of cerise velvet. And suddenly, a gnawing at your heart. What is it? Those cloaks, worn by the noblemen.
But you like it.
Beautiful.
But you're sure?
Marcel, am I a fool? A cloak designed by Fortuny. I'll never take it off.
The designer Fortuny must have seen this painting.
You'll wear it?
Of course.
When you're out?
Of course I will.
And you'll think of me?
I always think of you.
And it'll protect you. You see? That's why.
Mm-hmm.
A telephone call for you. One moment.
Hello?
Marcel?
Robert?
I had trouble finding you.
Well, I...
I'm sorry, I...
What's the matter? Robert?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Robert? What is it?
You're my friend, aren't you, Marcel?
Yes.
You are. You are.
Robert, what's the matter?
I've got to go.
Wait.
Shouldn't I? I shouldn't have...
Wait.
Think of me, will you?
You're not packed yet?
Mama.
You're not packed yet.
We were having a discussion.
The train leaves in an hour.
Yes, but we hadn't decided.
Well, I think we had.
Last night.
Yes?
We didn't decide.
Marcel.
I don't want to leave yet.
It's been decided. It's been decided.
No.
I beg your pardon.
No, I'm sorry, Mama. I want to stay.
Venice is damp. It's bad for your health.
I'm very well, actually.
At the moment.
Yes?
I can hear your chest.
Mama.
No. This is... We're leaving.
I'm not.
You're being childish. Marcel.
I don't want to go home.
We'll see.
No, we won't see. Mama!
That old defiance against her. Her wish to control you. The defiance, in turn, which had made you try and control others. And with what result? Now... Will you go back to Albertine?
What is it?
A letter, Signor.
The handwriting. Gilbert Swan's.
Dear Marcel, I sent you a telegram a few days ago, but you didn't reply.
Telegram?
Perhaps it didn't arrive.
Albertine? The telegram you thought was from... How could... It was from Gilbert. The clerk who'd taken the telegram down must have mistaken the G in her name for an A... and her other looped letters for Ian.
I want you to know that I'm shortly going to marry your friend, Robert de Saint-Loup.
Certainly. Intolerable to be alone. Venice like a marble ruin. Just time to catch the train. With Mama.
Hey! Sta bene, signor.
Thank you. Thank you.
So it is that a large part of what we believe to be true springs from an original mistake. Gilbert marries Robert. It descends with unusual speed into catastrophe.
He's unfaithful to me. He married me for my money.
And you married him for his name.
I thought, when we've moved here to Tansonville, he said he always loved my father's house.
Yes. Yes, he does.
So I thought he'd be happy.
I'm sorry.
But it became clear from the beginning that he intended to... pursue other women. He's quite open about it. Is there a kind of honesty in that?
No, I wouldn't say so.
You wouldn't?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're having all this trouble.
I want... You see, I want... Oh, I can't say it now.
Tell me.
It's so nice of you. I have a letter. Several, which I found. They're... I stooped to looking through my husband's cupboards. Looking? Why do we need evidence for what we know already?
Letters?
I want to find out who she is. They're signed Bobette.
You want me to try and... to find...
Yes. Do you remember you once begged for my love? I was too...
Don't say that. You don't have to say that. When's your baby due?
3 months.
Here, give me the letters.
You decide to pay for a woman to sleep with you. Some people need the aroma of pine forests. You need a woman next to you at night. And during the day, too, in the carriage, she must always be with you. You no longer love Albertine, but some habits survive the person who created them. And one morning you go to see the Baron Charlot, another victim in love's endless war. Now, looked after by Jupier.
How is he?
He's angry all the time.
Angry?
Hmm. Well, it's a shock to him, a heart attack. So he's chosen to ignore it.
But he's better?
Yes. Nice of you to visit. Many haven't.
It's all right. Listen, I've got some letters. A friend needs to know where they've come from. Can you understand?
Yes.
They're signed Babette. I wonder, have you heard of a woman who uses that name?
Woman?
Yes.
Well, you've been around a little longer than that, haven't you?
I don't understand.
Babette is the name used by someone you know, Charlie Morell.
What? No, no, no.
No, he sent them to your friend, I think. San Lu?
San Lu isn't like that.
Isn't it?
No. Oh, yes, he's got a string of mistresses.
Oh, well,
oh, he's rampant, multiply unfaithful to his poor wife.
He's in love with Morell, I'm telling you.
No, no, he isn't.
He adores him. And how do I know this? Because Morell left the Baron for him. That's Morell for you. I'll tell your friend to get out of it as quick as he can before Morell puts the boot into him.
Looking back to those days in Baalbek when I first met Robert, I can't help but think of this tall and handsome man, blond-haired and noble, as he walked across the lawn towards the Grand Hotel with his hand outstretched in greeting. Nor could I help but remember his many acts of kindness to me, or his delicacy of feeling. I reminded myself that I no longer believed in friendship. And yet, when I remember those evenings with him at Dancière, and our many subsequent times together, I don't know why, but I can't stop myself crying. Yet, last night, I woke at midnight with one name on my lips. I felt she was next to me. Memory lives on in the body. Albertine.
In The Prisoner and the Fugitive by Marcel Proust, dramatized by Michael Butt, the cast was Proust the narrator, James Wilby, Marcel, Jonathan Firth, Gilbert, Harriet Walter, the Baron de Charlus, Corin Redgrave, the Duchess, Sarah Kesselman, Marcel's mother, Deborah Findlay, Francoise, Rachel Atkins, Albertine, Zoe Waits, Robert de Saint-Loup, Julian Ovenden, André, Rebecca Smart, Jupien, Kim War, Morel, Simon Treves, Mrs. Verdurin, Lynn Farley, Gilbert as a girl, Penelope Rawlins, the Doctor, Paul Goodwin, Marcel as a boy, Stephen Williams. Other parts were played by members of the company. The street singer was Madeline Clements. In Search of Lost Time, directed by John Taylor, is a Fiction Factory production for BBC Radio 4. In Search of Lost Time, the classic sequence of novels by Marcel Proust, dramatized for radio in 6 parts by Michael Butt. Part 6, Time Regained.
I sometimes go walking with my friend Gilbert in the evening. These are the same paths I used to take as a child, when I was staying at my great-aunt Leonie's house at Combray. And they stir my memories. My father, pointing out to me aspects of natural beauty along the way.
So, no excitement at being back here, then?
Or else my infatuated dreams of the Duchess of Gaumont, whose house lay at the end of one of the paths.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
Pity.
Why?
It was along the other path, Swan's Way, where my grandmother first showed me the beauty of the hawthorn blossom in May, and where I saw Gilbert's face peering at me one sweltering afternoon.
If you weren't, we could take that road to the left, and then a turn to the right, and in about 15 minutes, we'd be at the gates of the Gaumont house.
But nowadays, on these evening walks, I feel above all a sense of loss, a sense of disappointment that all these memories I still have mean so little to me now.
What?
Well, I wanted to go there when I was a child, more than anything. I feel you're promising me something impossible.
Oh, we could take the other way.
What are you saying?
We could get to the Gaumont house along Swan's Way, if you like. It's prettier.
You see, that's...
What?
Well, again, when I was a child, I divided the walks in my mind. Never occurred to me you could get to the Guermont house along Swan's Way.
Well, you can.
It was a childish idea.
Yes, let it go.
Only one idea has survived the years. The fear that I am weak and growing weaker. That I have no imagination. And that I will never write the book I once dreamed of writing.
Do you remember when we first saw each other?
You were going for a walk with your mother.
No, no.
I peered through the fence at you.
You sure?
You had fair hair and pink freckles. I loved you.
What?
I was in love with you.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
How could I tell you?
I loved you too.
Did you?
Yes. I'd never seen such a pretty boy. I tried to signal to you.
When?
Your parents were coming, yes? What could I do? You stared at me.
Did I?
Mm. You looked angry.
I wasn't angry. Why would I be angry?
Gilbert! Quickly, what are you doing? Gilbert!
I'm coming!
Oh, about time.
Who are you?
Yes.
Yes? What does that mean? What's your name?
Gilbert!
That was Gilbert. That was Mr. Swan's daughter, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Never mind. And the child there. I feel sorry for the child.
They don't care about the child.
At her age, to be mixed up in all that.
Your parents disapproved.
What about later? When we used to play in the Champs-Élysées, you didn't love me then.
No, I didn't love you then. You were a pain then.
Gilbert's eyes threw a hedge of pink hawthorn.
Gilbert!
He once loved her, but in time everything withered.
Who are you?
Once I could have drawn the rectangle of light which the sun cast through those hawthorns. It's time that causes all our changes. Like a marriage and its breakdown.
How's Robert?
You mean, how's my husband? How's my so-called husband?
Yes.
You haven't heard from him?
No.
You'll see him tomorrow.
He's coming?
And one of his fleeting visits. Surprising, isn't it? I forgot you don't like to criticise your old pal. Those letters I gave you.
Mm-hmm. Which?
To Robert from some woman. The ones I found. You're saying you don't remember?
I remember.
I gave them to you and I asked you to find out who wrote them. Somebody called Babette.
Yes.
Well, you never told me. You never spoke about them.
I didn't have any success.
You never found out?
No.
A lie. Sorry. I cried when I found out.
Well, he's still the same.
Hmm?
Robert. Still chasing the ladies. Still lying.
I'm sorry.
Not ladies. Not ladies, Gilbert. Babette is the bedroom name of a man.
What could I do to make him love me?
Aside from making yourself look like a male prostitute, I can't think of anything.
He does love you. I think he does love you.
Do you?
Yes.
But some changes. Even time won't deliver.
Have you had enough to eat?
Wonderful woman, isn't she, Gilbert? I'm so proud she's my wife.
Look, Robert...
I just can't stay here, that's all. I get so restless.
Why?
I don't know. Gilbert gives me everything I want, and yet... She's very pleased you're here, and I'm pleased. Well, when I read her your letter saying you were coming, you should have seen her. She was so happy, and before that, she'd been depressed... You see the effect you have on her. You lift her, so you must stay. But, I'm going tomorrow.
Robert, I don't understand.
I have something to be proud of, you know. Did I tell you? There's this woman I found. You don't know her, but I'm the first person she's ever fallen in love with. I'm the first. Imagine how that makes me feel. She told me that I'm the only man who's ever made her happy. Yes, it's something to be proud of, that, isn't it?
Why are you lying to me?
How do you mean?
I mean, lie to your wife, but don't lie to me.
I don't know what you...
I know about Morel.
Anne. It doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't? It looks like it does. That's why I didn't tell you, old pal. You see? I didn't want you to judge me.
I don't.
Oh, Marcel, you do.
And he leaves. Borne away by what? By time, simply. By the changes wrought by time, which deliver a new Robert. And why am I so distraught? Because my ideas about him are out of date. The comfortable and fond ideas I had are no use. This new person that time brings is a stranger. And in the night, memory surfaces from the bones where it lives long after the mind is forgotten.
Albertine? Albertine?
Whom you loved and who died.
Are you there?
You think she's next to you?
Albertine!
For a moment. But the bed is cold. And the love you once had is gone. Death.
Goodbye.
Is time's last gift.
I leave you the best of myself.
And now you patrol the dark with another woman.
I'm so grateful you're here. I'd be so lonely without you. Isn't it odd? Is it odd? We loved each other as children and parted. I don't know. I wonder sometimes.
I'm leaving tomorrow, Gilbert.
Why?
My health.
What's wrong with it?
My doctor says I've got to go into a sanatorium for a while.
But you... You've been fine, haven't you?
No, I'm getting very tight in my chest. I can't do anything about it.
How long will you be?
I don't know. Years, maybe?
Years?
Could be. They don't tell you.
And time accelerates, begins to uncoil.
Can't I come and see you?
No.
With the faint sound of metal on metal.
They're very strict at these places.
Why does everybody have to leave?
I could tell you.
I'm sorry.
It's just time.
I can't do anything about it.
No, no, of course not.
Four years uncoil before you return to Paris. Four? Yes. And why is this so amazing? Inside, nothing has changed, least of all your health. But outside? War. War is coming now, soon and inevitably. And time will speed up. And deliver so many to that final change. In the meantime, lunches must be eaten and friendships repaired.
I don't know why. I must be a coward.
Oh, Robert, why do you say that?
No, I mean, all right, ask. Ask yourself. You must have thought, why hasn't Robert joined his regiment?
It's not my business.
No, you must have asked yourself. If a man doesn't fight, whatever reason he may give, it's because he doesn't want to get killed, isn't it? It's because he's afraid. I haven't joined my regiment, Marcel.
I know that.
You can't get away from it, therefore I'm a coward.
Well, what do you want me to say?
I don't want you to say anything, but just admit it. Your friend Robert de Saint-Louis-en-Bray is a coward.
Well, let's not talk about it then.
All right. Suits me. My Aunt Oriane's getting a divorce, by the way. Her husband treated her abominably. Did you know that? He was completely unfaithful to her. What?
How's Gilbert?
Why are you asking me?
I haven't seen her since I got back.
No, why are you asking me?
She's your wife. I'm really not trying to teach you a lesson.
I'd be grateful if you'd go and see her.
How old's your daughter?
Four. Very sweet.
Is she?
Very.
I can't go down.
Why?
I don't want to go down.
Why?
Robert, I'm not her husband.
Dear God.
I'm sorry. Is it going to be a long war?
No. Very short.
So down to Tonsonville to see Gilbert. Because Robert wanted you to?
I wanted to stay in Paris with Robert. But the air raids... I was afraid for my daughter.
Yes, it's safer here.
How is he?
He's all right. He told me he was a coward. He wasn't going to his regiment.
What? What is it?
A telegram he sent this morning. He's joined up. You must have said something to change his mind.
I didn't say anything.
Well, not only is he joining up, he's volunteering to be in the thick of it.
He's going to the front.
He's got a daughter. Why did he do that?
I've no idea, Gilbert.
But you can make a guess. Robert has an ideal of masculinity. He wants to be admired by his men. And something else.
Oh, I just have to accept all this.
He hates himself. You see that suddenly. You begin to fear for him.
You'd never know there was a war on, would you?
Is that what you think, Andre?
Well, yes. Look at us, tucking into one of Mrs. Verdurin's lunches as though nothing had changed.
Everything had changed.
How are you, Marcel?
I'm very well. Once, she and Albertine were friends and used to visit Bushy Mount Park. And once, you and she used to have semi-carnal relations on the divan in your room. And afterwards, you only ever wanted to talk about Albertine, who was dead. Everything had changed.
You look pale.
How's marriage suiting you?
It's great fun. No, really, it is. Though Octave's work, that is something that's been affected by the war.
He's a stage designer, isn't he?
You know he is. Though it's all patriotic shows nowadays. He paints backdrops of the Picardy countryside, so the chorus, who are dressed as, well, I don't know, milkmaids or something, can march up and down in front of it, singing songs about the glory of France. Really boring.
Yes, on my way over here, I saw what looked like a cloud of midges in the sky. They were aeroplanes, keeping guard over Paris.
Yes.
I found it moving.
Why?
I don't know. Because it brought back memories of Albertine. That last drive with her, when you saw smoke trails high up, and turned to her and pointed and said, look. No, it couldn't be that. The memory means nothing to you. Though now and again you still see her in her grey dress, smiling.
And something else that's changed. We're all wearing very severe clothes nowadays. Ghastly tunics, very war, you know? Or even, and this is true, you're sitting next to someone at lunch who's got a piece of 75mm ammunition hanging from her neck.
So the ladies are doing their bit.
That's right. Do you ever think of Albertine nowadays?
No.
Never?
Never.
We didn't part on very good terms, did we?
You mean...
You and me. You wouldn't like another crack at it? Dinner?
I don't go to restaurants, actually. Can't bear the soldiers looking through the windows at me.
Well, I could come to you then. And we could close the curtains. Wouldn't that be a pleasant afternoon?
No, I don't think so. What were you doing there? You were at that point where society, the lunches, the private concerts and the salons that you'd once been fascinated by were now empty to you. And yet, what else was there? So you continue to open the invitations that are waiting for you when you come in. Amongst them, this evening, a letter from Gilbert.
The German soldiers now occupy Tansonville. They're treating it very well. Cambrai has become a battleground. The Germans lost 600,000 men here. They destroyed the village, but didn't capture it. I keep thinking of our walks around here through all this now ravaged countryside. The hill where you used to go as a child, and where you claim you fell in love with me, has become of enormous strategic importance. Yesterday the French blew up the little bridge over the Vivonne. Tell me if you hear from Robert. All my love, Gilbert.
So, nothing remains. Apocalypse. Which something in me welcomes.
The next day, Robert comes, unannounced, on leave. You remember, he never told his mother what he was doing either.
Marcel, if you could see everybody there, ordinary men running under fire, it would lift your heart. Working men, small shopkeepers, showing such steel. And who would have suspected what heroism they held with?